You're listening to Crypt Podcast. For show notes, comments, and other links, please visit crypt.io. Hello, everybody. It's Monday, and we're back. And it's been how long?
Yeah, I think it's been 5 months, actually, and it's crazy.
That's, dude, wow, that's incredible. Like, time really, really flies.
Mm-hmm. But we haven't forget Crypt. A lot of things
have been going on lately in both our lives.
Yeah, sure.
Johnny, could you give us an update? What have you been doing?
Yeah, well, let me just start off that this podcast isn't going to have any agenda. I thought we agreed on that because we actually thought that we would like to just give you guys a recap on what has happened the last 5 months in our lives, and and what the plans are for Crypt in the future. Maybe we'll just elaborate on that maybe through the podcast. Mm-hmm. My life has actually, how can you say it? It's been a fun ride. We started off back there in February with I started working for Viaplay together with Symbio to build a new sort of self-service help center for Viaplay. And it's been pretty fun. It's built on WordPress with Zendesk, actually. So yeah. Zendesk is a platform that maintains tickets and chat, but they also can store some sort of knowledge base, but the knowledge base service wasn't actually enough for Viaplay, so we had to take out the parts from their API that we wanted, and we built that with WordPress. But yeah, it's been fun.
So what was your... Were you a front-end developer in that project, or...?
I actually was some sort of full-stack developer on that project because I took responsibility for design, obviously, together with the UX team at Viaplay. But I also picked up a lot of back-end work on WordPress, which was actually fun, though I worked together with a very good colleague to mine, Tobias. So it's been actually fun to work with him.
That's interesting. So, like, how did you pick up the backend stuff? Did you pair up with Tobias, or how did that work?
Yeah, sure. So Tobias teach me a lot of stuff.
But okay,
I think it was also because I wasn't actually the one providing the design for Viaplay. So my role wasn't actually the designer for the project. Mm-hmm. So I could actually focus on functionality stuff and functional programming and lay my focus on that part, which was a great experience for me, because I'm always the one to do that, always tries to elaborate new design things in the project and take on the front end stuff. But it was actually awesome to actually be able to take on the challenge of back end work as well.
Yeah, but you guys have wrapped that up now. Are you done, or will there be a stage two? Or
I can't actually reveal that yet.
Okay,
but
gotcha.
But we'll see. Hopefully soon.
That sounds fun, man. It's always good when you get to do a lot of different stuff and wear many hats, so to speak.
Yeah, totally.
It sort of triggers the passion a little bit more, I would say. That's cool.
Yeah. Well,
so, what else? I mean, private life, health-wise.
Private life, we were actually going to get to that. but it's pretty hard to begin with, but I've actually finally met someone. I know she's the one. But her name is Dilken, and I think a lot of you guys that are listening to this podcast has seen that I've actually met someone. But Dilken is the most wonderful and smart person I've ever met. Because
that's amazing, man.
Yeah, I know, and I think it's hard to emphasize, but it's when you have met someone that just gets you and understands you and already from the first day completes you.
So how did you guys meet? Like, what happened?
Yeah, we'll just say it's on an app that's pretty
you know, that's mainstream. That's so common these days, you know. Like a few years ago, I felt that it was a little bit, you would feel a little bit ashamed telling you that you met someone through an app, because it's sort of like an awkward way of meeting someone instead of meeting like IRL. But it seems to be much more accepted now, and that's what people do. I feel like it's very common here in New York as well. A lot of people are, you know, on Tinder and OkCupid and all of those apps, and they're meeting up there. They're meeting friends. They're meeting partners. Whatever you like. And I think it's a great way to meet new people, actually.
Yeah, sure. I don't think it's actually the process of meeting new people on the application itself, but I think it's the thing that the applications like Tinder and other applications are pretty shallow, and that they are a pretty biased application when it comes to love. So I think there's a lot of biases.
Of course.
Yeah, when it comes to meeting people on, for instance, Tinder. But we did it. So I think it's, she had me at hello.
Oh, wow. So Johnny, could you tell us, like, how did you guys meet and what happened? What did you do on the first date?
Well, our first date was actually pretty awesome. We went on a lunch at Voideville in central Stockholm.
Yeah, that's at Kungsträdgården, right?
Yeah, I think so. Around the TGI Fridays. But anyway, I remember that I was pretty nervous meeting her. Of course, you're nervous on your first date. But anyway, so... I remember seeing her at the from distance, and I tried to meet up with her halfway. And when I tried to hug her, I remember that I went into her leg with my wheelchair by adversity.
And keep in mind, people, that this is a power wheelchair. It's not
exactly.
It's a really heavy one. It's like a Panzer rank, right?
Don't emphasize it now. that made me extra nervous during the day, because I thought I have fucked it up by actually ruining it on the first hug. But the date went great, and I remember that when she said that she wanted to hold my hand, I just stopped, and we had a great lunch, and then we sat down at a bench outside, and we sat and talked, and we cuddled a little bit, and she kissed me.
Kissed on the first date, dude.
Yeah, kissed on the first date, and she actually took the commando, which was actually awesome.
No, she took control over your power wheelchair.
Yeah, no. That also. I can't even control my wheelchair anymore because she wants to do it.
Oh, really? So how do you guys do it? Does she sit on your lap and like control the wheelchair?
Yeah, exactly.
Ah, that's cool, man.
Which is awesome.
You give great rides, right?
Yeah, sure.
Now you have to tell all the girls that are hitting on you, sorry, ladies, this seat is taken.
Well, I don't actually have to do that because Dilken is the one, and I feel that because Dilken actually showed up in my life when I was stuck and...
You're speechless, dude. You're in love.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty speechless.
That's great, man. I mean, she showed up in your life when you needed it the most. She came there and just took your breath away. That's amazing. And actually, that's not something that I've noticed with you is that you're a lot happier these days. And you know, you're so confident. You're so, I mean, she has really made an impact on your life. Not only emotionally, but, you know, in general. I feel that you're so positive. Not that you were not that like before, but you're even more so now.
Yeah, but what I was trying to say was that before I met her, I was pretty lost and yeah. I was just wandering through life, as I was feeling it. But she actually, I actually say that she fixed me. She rescued me for myself, and she stood next to me when everyone else was running away. So it's hard to actually express how that can be a debt that I can never repay her, but I will try to do it as much as I can, because she didn't actually reach down to try to pull me up from the hole I was in. She actually climbed down and sat right next to me till I was ready to leave. I usually say that to her. And she showed me that no matter what, how hard it rained, we could always move past the pain. And she restored my hope for the world and pulled me back from the edge of the cliff. And she made me smile like I've never smiled before. And I'm getting pretty emotional here, but
yeah, that's great, dude. Yeah. It's great to hear your emotional side. So you guys have been together now for a while,
yeah.
And you know, going strong, making plans for the future.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully, it's just that she's away in on her summer house with her family right now. So The longing and missing her is pretty tense right now. So, yeah.
But you know, you have Skype. You can video chat her and you know, call her, text her, keep in touch.
Yeah.
We all know that nothing is stronger than love. It's great, great to hear, man.
Yeah. But no, I'm not just going to sit and talk about me. So, how about your life, Victor?
Yeah, so my life has been kind of hectic lately. So for a couple of months ago, I actually switched jobs. Mm-hmm. So I have a new job here in New York. I managed to do that on my existing visa. So I'm now working at a startup company called Axiol. You can think of it as a platform similar to LinkedIn, but for small and mid-sized companies where they can send deals, send opportunities to each other, acquire each other, do buyouts. And it's really a good platform to connect business owners. They've been around now for a few years, but are still considered a startup. But I really thought that the idea was so cool. And I went for a couple of interviews and I instantly felt that, wow, this is a company I could really, you know, consider working for. The environment here is great. The engineering side of things, the engineering department is not that big. It's mm-hmm. about 10 or so engineers, which is kind of good for me because I like, you know, smaller teams where everybody sits together and I can work as a, you know, embedded tester rather than sitting somewhere else or offshore or, you know, be that little event at the end of the development lifecycle. Here I'm actually integrated, which is great. So I really like that. And, you know, it's a more, in the startup world, as you might know, it's a little bit more relaxed. The environment is a little bit more relaxed. And that's even though we are a financial firm, you could say, it's still, you know, we don't have any specific dress code. You could come as you are. We, you know, as long as you deliver and you know work hard for the company, they will have your back, and mm-hmm. they will provide you with everything you need, and you know they have you know very nice benefits, and I just feel really really happy right now working for this company. So I've been there for 2 months. So I'm you know very new, obviously still, but it feels great, you know.
But do you agree that there are a lot of biases all about the startup world, that it's too messy and too relaxed, that you cannot take any startups seriously?
No. I mean, of course you can take startups. Well, yeah, I mean, I can definitely see that people are questioning that a little bit. Hey, guys, you're too relaxed. Where's the productivity? I mean, at first, when a startup is really young, and everybody wears like 10 different hats in order to, you know, kickstart everything. I believe that, you know, a startup can be like extremely productive. But then after a couple of years or so, you might end up there somewhere in the middle, you know, when you're not as productive as before per employee, so to speak. Yeah. And the relaxed sort of like startup chill kind of vibe has taken over too much. I mean, you can end up risking ending up in that like pit hole.
Yeah.
But I really don't feel that with this company, and I didn't feel that with the startup company I was working for back in Sweden. But I can definitely see that some startup companies are there, and it's very risky, and it's hard to get out of that hole.
Yeah, well, I think it's easier to actually go from a big corporation to a startup company rather than the other way around. Because I know that working for Symbio, I can actually see when another company is too messy or unserious about their business.
Yeah.
Because I really love the way that we work at Symbio, because you know the agile way of software testing and software development, and just well, I think that Scrum is a must when it comes to development and testing. So yeah. When it comes to startup, I feel that sometimes it gets too, play more play than work.
Well, I don't know. I mean, over here in the States, we work late hours, man.
Yeah,
we
stay well, it doesn't mean that you work late hours. It just means that you use the best of the work time that you have there. Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's always hard. So, I mean, it's talking about Symbio. So, I was in Stockholm 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And actually visited you guys and saw the new office for the first time.
Yeah,
the new
moved.
Office at Epicenter.
Yeah, it's called Epicenter, yes.
Yeah, it was really cool to see that, man.
We finally actually like got our office? Own space. Yeah. So.
Gosh. Yeah, before we were at this office hotel.
Yeah.
This is more like a real office space for Symbio, which is great. So how do you feel about that?
Yeah, well, it's actually nice that we can have our own space and our own kitchen and not having any lawyers or sellers around our office speaking in their phone.
There's also so many cool companies in that building complex, like Ticktail. I know that Swedish YouTubers Splay are there as well. Orbit.
Star Stable.
Yeah. Wow. So do you network a lot with those guys?
Well, actually, we had a summer party last Wednesday. So there's a lot of ways to connect with people around the house because Epicenter is always throwing afterworks and parties. And so, yeah, it's pretty awesome place to work because you have your own space. But if you want to get to know other people, from other companies, there's always room to do that.
That is amazing. That is great. And you know, obviously, you could find future business partners there.
Yeah, obviously.
It's really cool, and they, I think they like, they are also hosting a lot of events, right? They're hosting a lot of meetups.
Yeah, well, actually, the latest event that they held was between Ticktail and Stripe, which is actually opening up in Sweden.
Oh yeah,
you mean, you know, the yeah, like they're like PayPal and yeah.
What makes them different from PayPal?
Yeah, well, nothing actually. It's just a startup that started to build a simple API for e-commerce sites. And how should I explain it? Is that it's payments infrastructure for the internet. That's how they say it. And they have a awesome API on how you can take payments online. So I think Ticktail and Stripe was actually going to collaborate. So yeah.
Okay, gotcha. That's great, man. No,
that's also held a lot of events there, and yeah.
Yeah. Are Symbio planning to host any meetup?
Yeah, we did it a couple of months back because Jacob, you know, our CEO, he held a speaking during lunch. Yeah.
Oh, how's that?
I missed it, unfortunately, but
oh snap.
Yeah.
But did you hear back from them? Was it successful? How was the, you know, were there a lot of people there?
Yeah. I think there was pretty much people there. Yeah, I think it was a lot of people there, and it was much appreciated. So
yeah, that's cool. Yeah, so well, back to me then. I mean, yeah. I've actually realized that today is my 1 year anniversary in New York City.
Is it
in America? Yeah, 29th of June 2014. I landed here. It was 9 p.m. or so local time, and you know, I remember being so nervous, jumping into a cab, on my way to Manhattan. You know, wow, it was, you know, I remember the whole day, that whole day 1 year ago. I remember I couldn't sleep the night before. I had a hard time sleeping. I was staying at my parents' place because they were giving me a ride to the airport in Stockholm. So I was staying overnight there. And, you know, I remember being so nervous. And, you know, it was insane, really. It's been 1 year.
It's crazy. And it's too bad I'm not there and having a beer with you. I would love it because... it's crazy. Has it actually been 1 year already?
1 year in the USA, yeah.
So you're actually going to Prague soon, right?
Yeah, probably. I'm not 100% sure about that yet, but probably.
Because I remember that you went to New York and 2-3 weeks in, right? Then you had to go back to Prague.
Oh, yeah. Right. Of last year. Yeah. I was in New York for 1 month before going back to Europe for a week because I had this tournament in Prague. But I actually had a stop in Stockholm before that and spent a couple of nights in Stockholm before hitting the tournament in Prague with my wheelchair floorball team. So that was cool coming back. But you know, I had only been in the US for a month, so I still kind of felt like a tourist, in a way. But now, 1 year later, I feel
just more like a tourist. Like
not a tourist anymore. I feel more and more like a New Yorker. You know, I can manage around. I know where to go. I know where to eat. I know which rooftop bars are good, which concert venues you should go to, which parks you should hang in. You know, you'll learn a lot about the city, but it takes a lifetime to explore the city, man. It is so big and so diverse.
All of it, right?
No, you can't have it. You can't have it all. It's
No. You actually haven't seen all of it.
No. Gosh, no. There's so much to explore yet. You know, yeah. I'm just ticking one thing off, one after another. You know,
done, you have some sort of list.
Done this, on... done the... Yeah, I sort of started on a list actually when I first got here. I haven't updated it in a while, but I should do that.
Yeah, the only thing that I would like is that you could sometimes blog about it on maybe accessible places for wheelchairs and stuff like that.
Yeah, for that I should do actually. I have an abstract. I actually have a draft of a blog post. I should share that with you.
Yeah.
I started to write that months ago actually, but it's been in my draft for so long. So I really want to revamp the blog and, you know, post more things. So yeah, hopefully I can do that. No, but it's been a year, and you know, it's been a very eventful year, to say the least. I couldn't, you know, imagine how this would have been, you know.
Yeah.
It was so hard to predict what this year would have looked like. But, you know, obviously, a big thing for me was coming here, joining a basketball team, played a few games, played the garden, the Madison Square Garden with that team. That was just an amazing experience. Also, meeting so many people here from all over the world, meeting so many new friends, friends for life. And I've been to, well, obviously I'm a huge music geek, so I've been to so many shows, in so many different venues, and it's been great. I've also managed to travel around quite a bit, mostly here on the East Coast, but yeah. I've been to, you know, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, went to Miami not too long ago. That was really nice.
That was awesome.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm quite a sucker for history. I like American history.
You do.
There's a lot of there's a lot of history here on the East Coast, which is great for me. A lot of great sites to visit.
Okay, yeah.
But, you know, I have a half a year left here. And in the autumn, I'll try to go to the West Coast. I really want to experience that.
Mm-hmm.
Try to take a week or so off and just go there and do LA, do San Francisco, maybe San Diego. I really want to do Vegas as well. Wow, dude, there's so much I want to do still.
But despite from all the experiences, have you been able to measure your progress in any way? Because I know that you moved to the States to actually work there and not been a tourist for one year. So have you actually felt that you've been a better... See what?
You can do the both. That's really what I've been doing lately.
Yeah, I was just meaning that are you feeling that you've become a better tester or a leader or a developer in that case?
I have definitely grown in my profession as a software tester. Or as an engineer in the IT industry in general, you know, I've seen big media companies. I worked at Viacom for 6 months. I've been in the financial business, big corporation, McKinsey company, for a few months. So I've seen, you know, the financial side of things here in New York and the media side of things, two very, very big businesses. Mm. I've seen all kinds of, you know, company structures. I met all kinds of personalities. I've learned how to tackle different personalities. I've learned how to, you know, get the information I need to proceed to the next level. I feel like I try to learn something new every day. Yeah. I have, you know, obviously I've developed on the technical side of things as well. I've developed my technical skills when it comes to automation, when it comes to test management in general, but even more so on a personal level. How do you, you know, how do you push yourself to to take it one step further? How do you push yourself to take new initiatives and to move a project forward, to really be efficient in your work? I learned quite a bit. It's hard to put words on it.
Yeah.
But I feel that I've definitely developed both in my profession and on a personal level.
Yeah.
I've also, got a little bit of like American mentality, I guess. You know, it's a little bit more extroverted here. People are speaking up a lot more. They take place. They like to be out there and really say that, hey guys, I'm here. I want to do this. I want to do that. I definitely got some of that energy now. I just need to learn on how to deal with it and how to manage it in a good way. obviously I also have discovered that over here, you're always hanging on a thread, basically. You never know what will happen tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Back in Sweden, we have this safety net, right? We have the safety net that, if something happens to me, I will be heavily backed up, or I will have, 3 months of notice, or if I become sick, I would still be able to stay for the company for a long time, and they will support me. Or, I want to take a 6 months trip to Africa. We'll probably be able to do that and still come back to your work after that.
Yeah.
Over here in the States, it's not really like that. But also, the opportunities here are in general greater.
Yeah.
So if you really, really want to make it, this is a good place to be.
Exactly. But I remember that when you started out in New York, that you actually became so stressed, so you actually got a rash. So do you feel that you've been able to manage the stressful environment of New York better than you did at the beginning?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, coming to New York, it was a shock for me at first.
Yeah.
Because they would expect so much from you. They would expect you to work long hours. They would expect you to be delivering, 100%, 110% every day. And if you did that, they would add more things on your plate. So there would never be like a limit for you. And that was sort of what happened, is that I, tried to meet the expectations all the time.
Yeah.
But they were sort of just pushing them. And that's actually one thing I've learned being here, to push back when it gets too much, When you have too much stuff on your plate, you need to flag for it. Hey guys, I need to push back here. I will not be able to do this project or that task. I will not be able to do that now because I already have too much on my plate. If you do that and you manage to set the expectations right from scratch, you will be fine here in New York. Yeah. You will do great. I didn't do that at first. That's why I got a little bit, stressed out. I really wanted to impress people, but I sort of just ended up hurting myself a little bit, I guess. There was for a short while there, I actually considered going back to Stockholm. I actually considered giving up. Yeah. I felt that I can't handle this. I can't handle this mentality. No. This is not me. But things happened. Things changed. I got good mentorship from my leaders, and I got some support. And I rethought about things and started to actually set the expectations on on a right comfortable level for me.
Yeah.
And started to push back when it got too much, and I started to feel so much better doing so. And I felt also that I had time after work to do fun stuff,
yeah,
which made my life even more entertaining. And I met a lot more people. And I started to exercise a little bit more, started to go to the gym more often. And it sort of gave me a lot more energy. And I was happy again. Yeah. It's strange how things turn out. But I'm glad I didn't give up, if I say so.
Yeah, I can totally understand. But do you think there's something that you've learned from your experience in New York that you will bring back to your professional work here in Sweden that you know will help you? Is it that more stress talent?
My stress tolerance level has gone up a lot.
Yeah, but
I'll be able to handle stress.
Yeah, but I think is there some? Yeah, stress is always good to have, to be tolerant. But I think is there something on a leadership level or a communication level that you can bring back that the Americans use in their daily work that you feel that we don't often use here in Sweden?
So one thing I've noticed in America is that, you know, you're working as a team.
Yeah.
And team spirit is a very, very important thing. You would usually have these, you know, weekly announcements at office. It would be the CEO, he or she would be saying something, and you would have some other presentations. And people, you know, whenever there is an announcement or whenever there's, like, you know, good news, people would shout and, you know, scream, shout, clap their hands. Yeah, damn, we're good. Damn, we're awesome. Or if you close a deal, for instance, with another company, or you're showing good numbers, people will send out email hashtagging, you know, we're the greatest team or, you know, whatever. And you really get that positive attitude that, hey, we can achieve anything. And it's not like, I think that is something that I will bring back, is that the energy here at that people bring into the companies is a lot more. There's a lot more energy, so to speak, and there's a lot more like team feeling, and, you know, I can feel that in Sweden, for instance, people would be a little bit afraid of shouting out, "Hell yeah, we're doing great here," you know, but they do that here, and it feels good.
But I think it's coming over to Sweden because we have Urbit next to us and they're actually having the same spirit when they're actually closing a deal. It's pretty fun to see, actually.
You're hearing that. You're hearing whenever there's a new deal that they have closed. You can hear they are sharing, clapping their hands, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, but that's definitely something I really, you know, I really want to bring back.
That's awesome.
Also I've learned a lot about marketing, self promotion, being out at different events, and not really be like being afraid of doing anything. I mean, if you want to do a keynote at a big conference, just apply for it. Don't be afraid. Don't underestimate yourself.
No.
You know, Americans usually don't, they're really good at, you know, pushing themselves, telling themselves that, hey, I can do anything. If I, you know, I want to apply for this like leadership position, I should, even though I'm like severely unexperienced. You know, they're pushing themselves like that. And I think that I will try to take some of that mentality with me back home to Stockholm when it's time to go back. And also, you know, I've learned a lot more about technologies, especially like in test automation, and I learned a lot about JavaScript, a lot about Python.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So front end UI automation as well as back end automation, and it's really like something that I missed a little bit. I was not bad at it. When I was working in Sweden, I was doing some automation and, I was building test labs. But I've taken it to a new level now. And I've also realized the importance of pairing up with developers, pairing up with people that can help me to learn, with people I can build stuff together with.
Yeah.
It really brings so much more value. So I'll probably like try to do that when I get back. I'll definitely, utilize my communication skills to be able to pair up with more folks and strive to the next level. And I learned a lot about, software testing, like biases in software testing, especially. Mm-hmm. The psychology of software testing, really. There is a, I can bring up a really, really fundamental example here. There's something called the confirmation bias. Confirmation bias.
Okay.
And that is when you're finding a bug or something that you think is a problem, when you're discovering that in a piece of software and you're telling the developer or project manager or whatever that, hey, there's a bug. He or she would go, no, there isn't. You shall not try to, investigate in this because it's bug-free. Focus on this other area instead. But the thing is that, you can be so affected by that confirmation bias that you, leave that specific issue or potential issue behind and just walk away and do the next. Instead of, questioning, huh? Really? And, actually try to see if there's really a problem here. So I guess all people have biases. We will always have them.
Yeah.
But I've sort of learned how to control some of them a little bit better, I would say. And that's definitely a takeaway, definitely a learning. And why have I been, starting to think like this? Well, that's because I've been networking and chatting with a lot of much more experienced testers and engineers in general and folks in the IT industry. And they've sort of helped me open up my eyes a little bit more and see things from different perspectives, see things with a, creative, critical, technical productive mindset. I'm very thankful for that. I've learned so much.
Yeah, it's actually the same for me because I've actually felt that during these 5 months I've actually grown as a developer myself, and it's hard actually to actually grip what it is that has made us better developers. But I totally agree with what you're saying on that.
I think it's so cool, Yanni. Right now I'm just thinking back, to the time when we met at that barbecue party.
Yeah,
so many years ago. I found out that you were in IT or you were freelancing in IT, and I had just started out. Yeah. I think I was still a trainee at Sugeti Sweden.
Have you already started at Sugeti? Yeah, maybe.
Maybe I was in school.
I think you were actually at Vägverket, but I don't know.
Oh yeah, that was actually before my professional IT career.
Yeah, well, I'm still thankful for what you did for me at Symbio. So we've actually helped each other. So
yeah, I guess so. I mean, but I really wanted you as a colleague, But I was a little bit afraid that you sort of didn't want to go corp. You didn't want to, you know, join a company. You wanted to keep doing what you were doing with the freelancing stuff. So I was a little bit afraid of that. But, you know, it turned out so good. And you're still in at Symbio Sweden now, making great progress.
Yeah.
And it really feels that it's a good place for you to be. I mean, as long as you surround yourself with good, inspiring people, it's a win for you, really. And yeah, I'm just glad I met so many cool people lately. And you know, I wish I will keep doing that in the future to come.
Yeah, we'll just see what the future takes us.
Yeah, sky's the limit.
Yeah, and we'll try to keep up with the podcast, and I will try to be better at my rusty English. I feel that it's
pretty,
come on.
Gosh, man, your English is better than mine.
No, not right now. But anyway, it was really fun talking to you once again, Victor, and
likewise.
Hopefully we can keep this up, right?
Definitely. I'm actually chatting with a couple of folks now to prepare for upcoming podcasts.
Yeah.
We want to do more interviews. We want to do more collaborative podcasts with other folks. So we're working on that right now. So
yeah, the only thing is that we are having, well, I'm having summer vacation. I think it's in 1 week. So we'll see when we will have time to podcast together. And otherwise, we will just...
You can do it from the beach, dude.
Yeah, obviously. Maybe. But anyway...
Yeah.
Thanks again, and thank you, Victor, for being my partner in the Crip.io.
Partner in crime. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, for
Johnny,
listening.
And see you next time.
Yeah, Crip on.
Crip on. Och blicka på min synt med en stråke. Jag fick ett samtal av en vän som var på kåken. Det blev ett samtal som en